Well, church again, good morning.
Morning.
Happy Easter. I invite you now to stand with me for the reading of God's Word. And we are going to be reading today from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, you may be seated. And I just invite you once again to pray with me. Oh, Lord Jesus, come. We do not need just another Easter service, just another religious meeting. We need you. We need a person. We need you, the King of Glory, Lord. And as much as any of us here might want you, you desperately want us. Lord, I just ask right now, that you would just send your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Open our eyes to wonderful things in your word, wonderful things in your law. Help us see things we've never seen before. Move in our hearts and our minds to worship you. Lord, you are here. And as Peter said, though you have not seen him, you love him and are filled with a joy that is indescribable and inexpressible. So, Lord, come, be with us, meet us where we are, speak into our hearts and minds, and speak through me this morning, Lord. The power is not in the preaching, the power is in the person of Jesus. So, Lord, lead our hearts closer today to you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, man, it is so good to see all of you today. Man, it's so fun to come with your family to Easter on Sunday, or even just to come by yourself. And some of you grew up in church. Some of you have been coming here to this church all of your life. Some of you might not have ever even been into a church building in your entire life. Some of you have this deep, deep, intense love of Jesus. Some of you do not know really anything about Jesus. You might have heard about him. You might have heard things about him, but you're curious. Okay, I've looked for answers in other places. Well, let's try Jesus. Who is he? What is he all about? Well, I want to tell you, for me, knowing and following Jesus has been by far, easily, the best decision of my entire life, following Jesus, nothing even comes close to the joy that that brings me. But I want to tell you a secret. It's not a secret anymore because I'm telling you. For a lot of my life, I have enjoyed a relationship with God. But if I'm honest, it has felt kind of like a treadmill. Yes, God loves me, but what do I have to do to keep that up? You know, I guess I'm supposed to obey what God has commanded and said, but obviously I fail at that every single day. Does He still love me? Oh, I forgot to read my Bible this morning. Does He still want me? I haven't prayed in a while. He's probably upset and I should just back off. But it's okay. I'll come back once I've been good, then He'll want to be with me. I haven't been to church in a long time. Does God still love me? Can you relate to that at all? Have you ever asked yourself those questions? And I've done this or I've failed to do this. Often we stand back from God, not because we don't want Him, but because we think He doesn't want us. Yeah, man, that's really awkward, God. You know, that thing that I watched or that I saw, I think I'm just going to, you know, just talk to you later. Oh, that's really awkward, God, that I, you know, drank a lot of alcohol and I kind of got out of control and I don't even remember what happened. I think God is ashamed of me and embarrassed by me. He wouldn't want to have anything to do with me. Oh, I snapped at my kids the other day. I don't think I should have done that. Well, maybe if I'm nice to my kids for a while, then I can go and worship the Lord and come and approach Him. Do you see what I'm getting at? We all experience those moments of, I want God, I want to be with Him, I want to know more about Him, but there is a barrier between me and Him. That barrier is me falling short, and because of that, I cannot have any access to Him. I cannot be with Him. That's a heavy weight to carry, isn't it? And one more thing. It's a lie. It's not true. It's not even true remotely. What are we celebrating today? We're celebrating the resurrection of Easter. We call this Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. Now, Jesus, you know, we celebrated on Christmas that God took on flesh. He was born of a virgin into a manger. And in His life, what did Jesus do? He didn't just live by Himself or for Himself. He lived for us. What do I mean by that? When we look at Jesus' life, who is He representing? He's the Son of God. He represents God, but He's also the Son of Man. He represents us. And what's cool is when you look at all of Scripture, you see God's people failing over and over and over. Do you remember in the book of Exodus when God's people were freed from slavery in Egypt? What did He do? He took them through the Red Sea. They passed through the waters. Then they went into the wilderness. What happened in the wilderness? They gave in to all of their desires. They decided, we're going to follow after our own hearts. We're going to go on our own path. We're going to worship these gods. We're going to basically lead ourselves rather than letting the Lord lovingly lead us. Israel failed over and over and over and over. Fast forward to Jesus. Jesus goes immediately in the book of Mark to do what? To be baptized. Did Jesus need to be baptized? Well, I don't know. I don't know if that's even the right question. Look, the book of Mark says people were going to be baptized to confess their sins and to be forgiven. So why was Jesus going to be baptized? Well, because for Jesus, it wasn't all about him. It was all about us. Jesus said, I represent God's people. I represent humanity. And so I, myself, am going to be baptized. And Jesus reenacted, in other words, the passing through the Red Sea. And immediately what happened? The Holy Spirit sent him out into the wilderness where he was tested and tempted by the devil for 40 days. Now the Israelites were tested for 40 years and they failed miserably. But Jesus, where we failed, Jesus succeeded. Where we fell short, Jesus hit the mark. Jesus came to represent us, to live a perfect, righteous life filled with communion and closeness to God. He himself is the Son of God. No sin was ever found in him. No sin was ever committed by him. He never fell short. He totally hit the mark. And he went to the cross. Why? Well, he went to the cross so that, in a very strange way, what do we learn from Paul? Paul says that he who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. So there's a trade that happened on the cross on Good Friday. Jesus, representing us, took our falling short onto himself. He died, therefore it died. Jesus rose from the dead. Where's the sin? It's not with Jesus, it's still dead. And what does he do? All who depend on him, who say, Jesus, I want you to represent me before God. Well, his goodness, his righteousness, it stands in our place. And with him as our representative, we know that we have a good standing with God, a right standing with God. The same standing that Jesus enjoyed with the Father, we now, through depending on him, through asking him to represent us, we get to enjoy that too. That is incredible news. And what does Paul say in our passage today? What then shall we say to these things? How do we respond to something as crazy and as good as that? Well, you know, Paul, that's really good, but, you know, I fell over and over and over again. Paul says, you're looking for righteousness in the wrong place. You're looking for righteousness in the mirror. You need to start looking to heaven. Your righteousness is found in heaven, and it's found in who? It's found in Jesus. It's found in Jesus. Well, you know, I've messed up, Paul. I haven't been who God called me or wants me to be, so he doesn't love me. He's not for me. Paul says, oh, yeah? Well, look, it's God who justifies, not you. Have you ever felt like, man, if God really loves me, how can I trust him? How can I trust that he really does love me? When I've asked that question to myself before, I've had to say, well, man, he gave up his son for me. That's not something you do flippantly. That's not something you say, I'm kind of impartial to these people. I'm just going to go lay my life down for them. That's something you do. There's a huge gravity to that decision. You don't do that flippantly. You only do that out of deep, deep, deep love. But what happens, a lot of times our hearts condemn us. You haven't been this. You haven't been that. Or you've done too much of this. Or you've done too much of that. God can never be for you. And yet Paul says, how do we know that God is for us? He gave his own son for you. Yes, God is for you. Not because of anything you've done. Look, he did that for you before you even born. So it's not like God is not for you. It's not like God waits to be for you once you get it all together. No, God laid his life down for you. God sent his son for you knowing that you cannot get it together by yourself. I know a lot of you are thinking, well, one day I'll have it together. One day I'll figure it out and then I can approach God. I don't like spoilers. I'm going to give you a spoiler alert. It's never going to happen. It will never happen. You will never be good enough. You will never be good enough. You will never obey enough. That's not what God is looking for. You know, we have this tendency to believe, I obey and then I'm accepted. It's actually the opposite. I am accepted in the joy of that. Makes me want to live in a new way. Makes me want to say, okay, there's another way of doing life. My way obviously does not work. I'm not good at being the king and the lord of my own life. Well, that's the good news. God is for you. And everything he commands and says and teaches is for you. Not just to you, it's for you. Because he loves you. And he wants you. And he's also with you. Yeah, he loves me now, but is that going to last forever? Look what Paul says. What will ever separate us from God's love that he expressed to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord? Look what he says in verse 35. Who shall separate us? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Tribulation. We're going to go through so much affliction and trying times in life. In distress and persecution, there'll be times where, you know, we're left out of things, you know, for the sake of what we believe. There's also experiences in our lives of hunger and thirst and famine. There's experiences in our life of nakedness. In other words, feeling deep, deep shame. We all, even though, you know, we're all wearing clothes, we all have things that we are embarrassed about, ashamed of. Shall sword keep us away from God's love? You know, how did Rome typically execute people in those days? With the sword. Not even death itself, Paul says, could keep us away from God's love. Why? Because he's not dead. He is alive. He is risen. Look, Jesus knows what it's like to experience what you're experiencing. Jesus himself, all throughout his life, and especially on the cross, what did he experience? Tribulation, distress, persecution, hunger, thirst, nakedness, danger, and sword, the death itself. Jesus experienced it all on our behalf. And so we know that we're going to have to go through these things. Look at what Paul says. He says, as the Bible says, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. So Paul doesn't deny. He doesn't say, hey, everything's going perfect. Everything's going well. No, Paul says, yeah, we are going through these things. But then it says in verse 37, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That word in the Greek that we have translated to know is the Greek word all. It can be translated no, it can be translated but, it could be translated however. So Paul is not saying, no, we don't go through those things. He says, yes, we experience all of these hard, difficult things. However, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors. What in the Greek, what we have translated into more than conquerors, it can be translated as we prevail mightily. So what is Paul saying? Yes, in all of these horrible things that we experience, we prevail mightily because of him who loved us. Where is he? Is he dead? Is he in a tomb? No, he's alive. And he's with us. And he's loving us through every horrible thing that we've gone through in life. And that gives us so much joy to know that. To know that he is here with us. He's for us, but he's also with us. That is the good news of Easter that we celebrate. And therefore, we agree with Paul. Nothing could ever separate us from God's love. Nothing in all creation. Now, I mentioned before, it is Easter Sunday. Do you remember what the book of Mark in chapter 16 says about Easter Sunday? It says that the women went to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. You know, a dead body, it starts to stink after a little while. And so they couldn't do this on the Sabbath because it was considered work. So they waited through the Sabbath. And then on Sunday morning, they went to anoint Jesus' body. But there was a big problem. There is a stone separating us from Jesus. Who will roll away the stone for us? Who will remove this barrier between us and Jesus? And even if we were to get through there, we're still going to find a dead Jesus. Well, surprise, the stone has been rolled away. And Jesus is not dead, he is alive. There is no barrier between us and the love of God expressed through Jesus Christ. Now, you might be living as though there is a barrier. Who's going to roll that stone away from me? And we think, I've got to do it. I've got to be the one that rolls that stone away. But just like those women, you can't do it. But here's the good news. We don't have to live as though the stone is still rolled in front of the entrance between us and God's love, because it has been removed and He is alive. So you don't have to get it together. You don't have to fix yourself. You don't have to be good enough. You don't have to pray enough, read the Bible enough, go to church enough, whatever enough. You just simply get to come. What could ever separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord? Well, no, nothing. Nothing. Nothing could ever separate you from God's love for you. And He's expressed it. When you look at Jesus, it's undeniable what God thinks about you, how He feels about you. There's nothing that could ever separate Him from you. And so what do? We simply say, Lord, I want you. And He doesn't say, well, you got to do this first. He says, finally, I've been trying to tell you your whole life that I want you. How has He told us that? Through Jesus. Through His defeat of death on the cross and through His resurrection to live life, not just for us, but with us. His life succeeds where our life fails. What does Paul say here? He says that Jesus is interceding for us. That word in the Greek means to hit the mark perfectly. The word that we have translated as sin means to miss the mark perfectly. What he says Jesus does here is the exact opposite word of sin. Look, where we have fallen short, where we have fallen short, let's not deny it. There's so much freedom in just confessing it, saying, okay, yeah, I give up. I've fallen short. God says, it's okay, I hit the mark for you. I hit the mark for you. Come, abide with me. Be with me. My name is Emmanuel, God with us. I want to be God with you. Man, that is incredible. That is what you have access to today and every single day. There is no barrier. There is no barrier. There is no barrier. There's nothing that could ever separate you from God's love for you in Christ Jesus. What would happen if we actually believed that? How would our lives change if we went around all day saying, wow, I'm so deeply loved by the Lord and nothing could ever separate me from His love for me? What would that do to you? How would you approach things differently if you were not performing constantly for God, but simply enjoying Him, living as though there is no stone rolled in front of the tomb, but that the stone has been rolled away and that Jesus is alive and that He's with you? How would that change your life? It would not necessarily take away all the problems that you're facing. And you probably would still have that diagnosis that you've been given. You might still be going through the relationship struggles that you're going through. I mean, I don't know, but I do know that Paul is very upfront in here that even though God has done all these things for us, we still experience so much pain and heartbreak in our lives. But what does he say? We prevail mightily. We are more than conquerors because he loves us. Man, when you believe that in your heart, it changes how you go through things. It doesn't always change what you go through, but it changes how you go through things. You don't go through things anymore without hope. You go through things with hope. You go through things with Jesus, with the Lord of hosts at your side. The God of armies is right there with you, and you're able to prevail mightily. You know, many of you know that in December of 2020, I was diagnosed with diabetes. And, you know, I've gotten more used to that and learned more how to live with that. But man, when you are, at the time I was 30, when you are an adult and you are diagnosed with a chronic disease and the doctor says you're always going to have this disease until you die, and you read things about, oh, people with diabetes, you know, they have they go blind or they have amputations or, you know, they have heart failure. I'm not trying to scare you. people with diabetes. I have it myself. There's a healthy and good way to live with it. I just say all that to you to tell you that I was scared and I was sad. To make it worse, it was Christmas. What kind of a Christmas gift is this? To be diagnosed with a chronic illness. But I remember driving home from picking up my grandma and aunt to pick them up to celebrate Christmas with them, thinking of all the festivities everybody was going to have, all the chocolate everybody was going to eat, all the food, all the celebration, and I just felt so, so sad, like I was missing out. And I just thought, man, this is so hard. How am I going to do this? Lord, how am I going to make it the rest of my life with this disease? And I remember looking out the window at night and hearing the Lord tell me, Cody, we are going to get through this together. That was what he promised me. Cody, we are going to get through this together. Now, it is March 31st, 2024. I still have diabetes. And yeah, it's hard. A lot of times it is hard. And sometimes I still do grieve it, and it is painful. That doesn't mean I don't trust the Lord. It just means that, man, I trust the Lord more than ever because I can take my disease to Him. I can take my pain to Him. I can take my hurt to Him. I can take it to Him, know He's experienced it for me and with me, know that I'm not alone in it, and know that there is hope beyond anything that I face in this life. Know that not even a chronic illness itself could ever separate me from God's love for me, because it was never the beginning and it will not be the end. It may be a chapter, but before diabetes, before anything else in my life, God's love was there for me. Right now, His love is here for me. And always and forever, His love will be there for me. And so yes, 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 we go through incredibly hard and difficult things. But because of Easter, we go through it with the knowledge that, hey, God is for me. God is with me. I will never, ever have to go through it alone. And I will never, ever have to worry about a barrier standing between me and Him. When we truly believe that, it changes everything for us, because we know that God's love is here and it's not going anywhere. What if we really believe that? Man, it would change your life. How much does it cost? It doesn't cost anything. You already paid it all. It is free. It is yours to step into and enjoy forever, forever. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That is the good news. May you take it to heart today, be deeply encouraged by it, and live it out in joy as you were meant to. This is ours to receive and celebrate this Easter Sunday. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we are filled with so much shame and hurt and embarrassment. We come here with so many narratives about who you are and just wishing that we were good enough for you. But Lord, thank you for the good news, Lord, that we don't have to be. We simply just get to receive your goodness and your love. To admit, yeah, we've fallen short, but just enjoy that you didn't, that you're with us. Lord, I pray that we would just soak up this Sunday, your deep love for us. Lord, if your death and resurrection on our behalf does not convince us that we are loved, I don't think there's anything else that could better proclaim that to us. And so, Lord, will you please meet everyone here where they are? For those who are saying, that's not for me, Lord, will you please destroy that lie in their hearts? Help them to know, yes, that is for you. That is for you. Lord, thank you for this gift that we get to celebrate today as a church, where we love you. We love you. We love you. We're so glad that you're not dead, but you're alive. And we can be raised with you into newness of life if we simply just say yes to that gift. It's in Jesus' name that we pray this. Amen.